All right. I want to welcome you to our radio broadcast today, and we're glad that you tuned in. Today I want to talk to you about some things that are very simple and yet very important about understanding the Bible. When I talk to people, I find that many people have the idea that the Bible is a deep, dark, mysterious book that you have to go to school and study Greek and Hebrew and know how to interpret all this kind of stuff and to learn, but it's really not difficult at all. There are several keys to understanding the Bible, and we can go over a lot of those, but I just want to mention to you one of them, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, when the verse says there, rightly dividing the word of truth, that is very important. Because everybody that studies the Bible divides the Bible somewhere. Most people divide it between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But there are more divisions in your Bible than simply that. In your New Testament, you've got the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are a record of the first coming of Jesus Christ, His life, His ministry on earth, His death, burial, and resurrection, and then His commission to the 12 to continue doing what He had taught them to do during His ministry. Then you have the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it's exactly what the title implies. It is the Acts of the Apostles. And up until Acts chapter 9, we find that the 12 that Jesus Christ taught are doing exactly what He told them to do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They are preaching that same gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And so, in Acts 9, we find a man that gets saved that had previously been persecuting the church. His name is Saul, later changed to Paul. After Acts 9, the 12 are hardly mentioned again. And after Acts 15, the Apostle Peter is not mentioned again in the book of Acts. Interestingly enough, the next 13 books in your Bible are the books of Romans through Philemon, written by the Apostle Paul. And then we have the books of Hebrews through Revelation. Now, the name of that first epistle, Hebrews, gives you a clue as to who it may be written to. And that is Hebrews, like James 1, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So, your Bible is laid out in a very unique way on purpose. And the 13 books in your Bible written by the Apostle Paul are the books that are the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. And that in that doctrine we find the walk, the position, the salvation, and the eternal destiny for the church, the body of Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, as well as Romans 15, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles," and he said, "I magnify mine office." And we see that Paul was given a very distinct ministry, a distinct gospel that differed from anything that had come before him. The apostle Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, was given the gospel of the grace of God, Acts chapter 20. He was given the dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians chapter 3. And so if you want to know what God is saying to you today, you're going to have to understand that not all the Bible is written directly to you. It's all written for us to read. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But not all Scripture is written directly to us. Now, this past week, I received an email that I want to share with you, and I will be answering this email, and will probably do so by sending a copy of this message to the individual that wrote it. He said, as he wrote, "I was very interested when I saw on a website a link to your message on YouTube entitled, 'What is a Christian?' The subject is one which I have struggled with over the last couple of years. First, let me say I am saved. That is, I am trusted in Christ's shed blood alone for my salvation, not my own good works. Having said that, let me say that from the time that I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I have not always been a Christian. I do not believe that the two are synonymous. I must disagree with some of what you said in your message. For instance, you said that a person today could not physically follow Christ. If what you meant, and by the way, that is what I meant. If what you meant is that we are not able to follow, that is, walk alongside the physical Jesus, that is true. But we can follow His teachings and His examples that He showed us. And then He writes quite a bit more, and for time's sake, let me read what He said in conclusion. He said, I believe that being a Christian, that is a disciple, does not stop in trusting Christ. One must follow His teachings and examples. If I am wrong, I am willing to stand corrected. I would very much be interested in your feedback. Well, prayerfully, he will be willing to accept some instructions, because I can say to you without reservation this morning, folks, that there is nobody on planet Earth today following the teachings of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They may try, they may say they are, but they simply are not following those teachings, not all of them. Now, they will pick and choose, but there are things that Jesus taught that people say they follow and they do not follow. And when I was in a religious system, I heard time and time again one explanation after another for things that were said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to try to make them fit the grace dispensation. Now, I just want to go through several things that I consider very important facts in relation to rightly dividing the word of truth. The first one has to do with salvation. And that's always of the utmost importance. That is the reason that we rightly divide the word of truth, to show people how they are saved in this dispensation. Anything beyond that is just gravy. I mean, it's just an addition to what we see. But listen, you can't show people today how to be saved out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul said that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. And he didn't just say the gospel. He said the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that gospel is how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that under the message of the kingdom, and by the way, people divide the Bible up into dispensations, and different writers have different opinions of why those are divided. And there's probably validity to that. I know that we're living in the dispensation of grace today. But you know, there's another way you can divide the Bible, and that is between prophecy and mystery. Because everything you find up until the salvation of Paul was according to prophecy after Genesis chapter 12. But when Paul was given the message he was given, he said it was a mystery. Mystery information. Information had not been made known. Whereas Peter said the things that had been prophesied by the prophets had been known since the beginning of the world, since the foundation of the world. So in looking at salvation under the kingdom message, there was always some type of activity or works that were involved in salvation. Now, do not get me wrong. Works alone could never save an individual. The law could never save an individual. But it was faith plus. For example, in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus Christ specifically taught His disciples and others to keep the law. And in Matthew 19, verse 17, He said unto them, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, but God. But that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, there's many other verses there, but this man came to Christ and asked, What must I do to have eternal life? Christ said, If you're going to enter into life, keep the commandments. When you look over in Matthew 23, the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not." Now, if you are trying to keep the law and observe the law in order to be saved, then you're going to be in real trouble. Because Paul said the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. He said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. And it's manifested by the faith of Jesus Christ. So the law, while it could not save within itself, they were commanded to keep the law. And Peter, when he went to preach to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he said in Acts 10, 34 and 35, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Now contrast that with what Paul said in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Peter said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Paul said in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." That's why Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, folks, no wonder there's so much confusion about salvation. No wonder an individual would think they would have to follow the teachings of Christ if they don't understand about rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, Christ said, when a man came to him, "What must I do to have eternal life?" He said, "Keep the commandments." When Peter preached to the nation Israel in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said they were pricked in their heart and said, "What shall we do?" What did Peter say? He said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." He said in Acts 3:19, "Repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." But did you ever notice in Acts chapter 16, when Paul is asked that same question, basically, when the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul never said what Christ said, "Keep the commandments." Paul didn't say what Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe what? Well, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, "Believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." You see, the 12 taught, just like Christ taught, that works were a part of salvation. Look in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, the Bible says there in verse 24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Every person on the face of this earth, every religious person on the face of this earth that believes that works are part of salvation will be able to quote James chapter 2. But you've got to remember who is it written to. He said in chapter 1, verse 1, "To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad." This is doctrine for the nation Israel. And he says there in verse 21, James 2, 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Well, Paul said just exactly the opposite of that. "It is not by works that we are saved," he says. "For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works," he said, "lest any man should boast." Folks, things that are different are not the same. This Bible is hard to understand if you don't rightly divide the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of truth, and see the difference in salvation in time past, today, and in ages to come. There is a difference. And what you need to know today is, regardless of what you've been taught in the past, regardless of what religion you may be a part of, regardless of what denomination you grew up in, that regardless of what they have taught you, what you want to depend upon is not the tradition of men, not the tradition of religion, but what the Word of God says to you and I today. Amen. And that Word says it's by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. Well, Paul said in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Why, water baptism today is one of the big issues in religion. And the reason people have a hard time with that is because of verses like I quoted a moment ago, Acts 2:38. Now, there's something about water baptism that is very telling if you will simply pay attention to it. When Jesus Christ sent forth the 12 under the Great Commission, there is no mistaking that they were to go forth baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." That's exactly what Peter preached. As a matter of fact, in Luke 24, Christ told Peter that repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in my name. And so what did Peter preach? Repentance and remission of sins. Now, the question is, were the 12 sent to baptize? Yes, they were. Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, Paul, the apostle who wrote 13 books to you and I today in this dispensation of grace, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "Christ sent me not to baptize." Then there is no way, there is absolutely no way that Paul could have been operating under the commission of Matthew 28 and Mark 16. And most of you out there listening to my voice right now are trying to operate under that commission, and it is not your commission. It was for the nation Israel. What is our commission? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "We are ambassadors for Christ. We beseech you therefore in His stead, be ye reconciled to God." Why? Because God has already reconciled the world unto Himself by the death of His Son. Now you need to be reconciled to God. And you don't become reconciled to God, you don't get saved by joining a church, getting baptized, repeating a prayer, walking an aisle, going to confession, or anything like that. You get saved when you trust in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. And to do that, you don't have to get up and go anywhere, say anything, or do anything. It's simply an act of faith, and you can do it right where you are, right this moment, even if you're driving down the highway listening over a radio or an iPhone or however it is you listen to these things. You can get saved right there in your car. As a matter of fact, got an email not long ago from a man that had gotten some messages off the internet, put them on his iPod, and he listened to them going to work in the morning. And I had preached a message on Paul, our apostle, and he sent me an email, and he said, "Brother Steve, I want you to know I was listening to that message this morning, and the light finally came on." And he said, "I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." And he said, "Then I pulled over to the side of the road." And he said, "I realized I didn't have to pull over, because you mentioned in there you didn't have to do anything. But," he said, "I did want to pray, and I wanted to close my eyes. So I pulled over, and I thanked the Lord for saving me." You know why, folks? The gospel is the power of God to salvation. It's not the individual preaching it. It's not the person. Paul said, "One plants, another waters, and God gives the increase." And that's why we have this program, that we try to get the message out to you, because people need to know that today salvation is by grace through faith, apart from the deeds of the law. You see, today Forgiveness is totally and absolutely unconditional. It's unconditional. You see, Jesus taught the 12 in what's called the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 16. He said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And you know, it grieves me, and it's almost heartbreaking when you hear a preacher on TV, and I heard one not long ago that pastors a huge church out in Texas. And this man boldly stood in the pulpit and read Matthew 6:15. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And told people that if they had not forgiven people their trespasses, then they were not forgiven. What a sad commentary. Now, you know what Paul said? You see, when we keep talking about what Paul wrote versus what Christ wrote, people get the idea that somehow you value the teachings of Paul more than the teachings of Christ. Can I tell you that the teachings of Paul are the teachings of Christ for us in this dispensation? The teachings of Paul came directly. He said, I receive what I receive not of man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul says in Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. In Paul's very first message, he said, all men are, first recorded message, he said, all men are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Now you know what? Instead of people resisting that and rejecting it, they ought to be jumping up and shouting hallelujah. Because all of our sins are under the blood of Christ. They're all forgiven. In this age there is no unpardonable sin. Why, Jesus said in Matthew 12:31, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And yet Paul just completely blew that out of the water in Acts 13:39 when he said, all men are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There is no unpardonable sin in the dispensation of the grace of God. There is nothing that you can do that will separate you from God to the point that you can't be saved. You cannot sin away your day of grace, as some preachers preach. I often say it this way. As long as you've got a breath in your body and a thought in your mind, you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can trust Jesus Christ. You can do it right now, and you can tell others that same great and glorious message. There is no unpardonable sin. Jesus Christ instructed the disciples. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. I was in a system that taught that that was the purpose of sending out missionaries, was to get the gospel out so Christ could return. Well, let me tell you, Paul said, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He called it in Romans 1:16 the gospel of Christ. The gospel of the kingdom has to do with the good news that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, but the king was rejected. He was put to death. And so God raised up Paul in Acts chapter 9. And gave Paul this glorious ministry of dispensing the message of grace to the lost world. And for 2,000 years now, that message has gone on. And it will continue to go on until the catching away of the church, the body of Christ. And then that ministry among the nation Israel will resume. Paul said that blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's going to come a time when the body of Christ is going to get filled up. And when it is, there'll no longer be an opportunity for people to get saved under the law, under the message of grace. So you have that opportunity today. Don't let it slip away. Jesus Christ himself was proclaimed to be a minister of the circumcision. Paul said in Romans 15, verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. When Jesus Christ sent forth the 12, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Paul said, I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. And so that's where our ministry is. You see, there's so many things that Jesus taught that people say they follow Jesus and they don't really follow him. For example, Jesus taught that there was no need to work. He said, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat or drink or put on. And he told the 12, in Acts 2, they had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as they had need. And what did Paul say? 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You see, folks, it's not just the doctrine of salvation, even though that's where it all starts. But you cannot operate your life today, even if you're saved. You cannot operate your life under the will of God by trying to obey letters that were written to the nation Israel. The only way you can operate your life today in the will of God is by walking according to the apostle that was sent to the Gentiles, the apostle Paul, in the writings of Romans through Philemon. And they differ dramatically from the teachings of Jesus Christ. While Jesus Christ taught his disciples, he said, whatsoever ye shall seek, ye shall have. He said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There may be somebody out there right now that you've prayed, and you've heard preachers say that God has promised to answer your prayer. Well, God never promised to answer any of your prayers. He said to pray about all things. Let your requests be made known to God. But Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, besought the Lord 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. And God said, no, I'm not going to remove it, Paul, but my grace is sufficient. You see, some of the greatest confusion in the world today is the confusion over prayer and asking God and demanding things of God. Our time is just about gone. Let me say in closing that the things we've talked about today, if you will simply listen to that, take heed to that. If you didn't get to hear it all, go to our website, understandingyourbible.com. Because I want to tell you something from experience. The truth of understanding how to rightly divide the word of truth will change your life. If you're not saved, it'll show you how to get saved. If you are saved, it'll show you how you're to walk in this present dispensation. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll tune in again next week.